Hi, I'm Gary Check, lead pastor at Grace Community Christian Fellowship in Flint, Michigan. And you're watching Growing with Grace. This show is intended to be an opportunity to teach God's Word and to understand it in a way that helps us as believers and followers of Christ to live lives worthy of Christ as well. We hope that you enjoy this biblical teaching from Growing with Grace. There was a radio host whose radio show came on early in the morning. And he related one time a story of a letter that he received. And it was from an Idaho shepherd. And he wrote this: "Will you on your broadcast strike the note A?" It says, "I'm a sheep herder way out here on a ranch far away from a piano. The only comfort I have is in my old violin. It's all out of tune, so would you strike A so that I might get it in tune?" And so the host honored this request, and later he received a thank you note from the distant shepherd saying, "Now I'm in tune." See, one of the purposes and responsibilities of the church is to provide personal and public worship, enabling the aspirant to keep tuned to the great shepherd. So many things will try to get us out of tune, out of sync, out of step with our God. One of the joys of the Christian life is to help others recapture the missing note. People have done that for me in my life. And if you ever heard of my journey and stories, there are times that I wasn't walking close with God. And there'd be no appearances of any walk at all. But people were kind and came by and encouraged and maybe showed me the errors of my ways. By participating in the local church, we're living one of the purposes which we were created for, which is fellowship. Which is why God created Adam and Eve, to have fellowship within the garden. He walked with them, the Bible says, although he was spirit, he didn't have legs. But the metaphor is they were together in fellowship in the garden. There is a wonderful time each Sunday where a little refreshment is put out in the hospitality area. It's available before and after the service. It's not the Grace Buffet to catch you because you missed breakfast as you ran out. But it's a time that's there, and it's been there from the very beginning. It was there in the time at Van Wyk Elementary. It was there at the time in our home where Grace started for about 2-3 months. We had the very same thing. We had rows of all the chairs we had were set in lines in our living room. And the PowerPoint was broadcast. It was projected on the wall. We have high ceilings in our living room. There was the cold area in the front and the warm area by the fireplace for those that liked temperature control. And in our little breakfast area, there was baked goods and coffee that were there every Sunday. The exact same thing that we do here has been in every level of Grace and its progression, even the 4 years we've been here now. But the church is to be a place of fellowship, and it's provided there for people to talk. I have been part of churches where within 15 minutes after the service is done, the building's cleared. It's gone. You know, first to the line of the buffet in Reno if it need be, or you know, beat the people at Wally's if you can. But here it's kind of different because people hang out for a while. And that's a good thing. They hang out to fellowship. They just talk over a cup of coffee and a little bit of baked goods. Or carrots, in case of those who are diabetic. Not that I'm complaining. What's that? Juice is good. If you check the sugar content. The Lord intended fellowship in the church to be more than coffee and baked goods or 20 seconds of green time in the time of the service. Romans 12:10 says we are to be devoted to one another in brotherly love, give preference to one another in honor. That's counter-cultural. In our society, each wants to give honor to themselves. Each one wants to be raised up. This is a very important time. Election years are always very difficult because you get so barraged with everything. It's hard to weed it all through and to filter it all through. But there are people trying to raise themselves up and supposedly raising others up as well. And what do you believe? But within the body, it needs to be genuine, not on election year, but every day as we go through life. The church is to be a place where in-depth friendships and lifelong relationships can be established. It's amazing how my mom has met people along the way that she knew years ago in churches and have been reconnected and going through. Kevin and I actually grew up in the same church on South Saginaw Street, but we don't remember each other. It's a great thing about youth. You forget when you get older, and then you forget all over again when you're older. So, since the river is purest at its source, we should make it our intent to reproduce the spirit and the practice of the first century in a 21st century church. Our goal is to make grace a place where people are radically devoted to God and completely devoted to each other. That's a challenge. The purpose of this message and the message that's going to follow next week is to encourage you to develop those meaningful relationships within the body of Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the time given to us today, and we thank you for this place. We thank you for grace and for what grace represents, your heart, your purposes, your plan, and your love for us and for us for one for another. And Lord, as we look into your word this day, may you illuminate its truths. Would you help us to dig deep and to mine out those golden nuggets that need to apply to our lives, that you might change us and conform us to the image of your Son who is devoted to you. May we be devoted to you as well. And we thank you for the time given to us in Christ's name. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and the second chapter in verse 42. The end of Acts 2 records information about the first church. And it demonstrates that deepening relationships that developed in that church as well. Pick it up at Acts chapter 2, at verse, bless you, 42. It says, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continually with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. The first century church was a vibrant church. It was new. It was different. It was radical, unlike the established religions that were taking place or even the pagan worships. This was an intimate fellowship that was developing and making itself known within the community in Jerusalem. But understand the basis of fellowship. People have fellowship outside of the church. There are different things that we do that we can relate to and interact with other people. It could be social groups. I look at the whole social networking thing, you know, like the Facebook. That's been a radical use of the internet. But some people use that totally as their only basis for social interaction. I love Don Fry, my friend down at the Nazarene Church, and he puts down, less Facebook, more Faithbook, you know. We tend to isolate ourselves, and that's the only connection we have. There are people that spend hours upon hours, and some may be here, and that's okay, but if that's the only interaction that you have, that's a dangerous thing, too. You're isolating yourself. Some feel that that's all that they need. There are other ways that we can interact socially. There's country clubs. I grew up in a caddy in a country club. You know, that's my social interaction, you know, toting those bags around at the Flint Golf Club. You know, but there's a certain camaraderie, there's a certain relationship that these people have. Exercise groups, there are those that have been joining Planet Fitness, a big wave of people in the very beginning, $10 a month. My goodness, how can you beat that? You know, that membership sits proudly on the table wherever you live. You know, maybe you still use it, I don't know, but that's an opportunity for socializing, for fellowship, common bond. People walk at the mall in the wintertime. There are a lot of ways that we can get our social interaction. But listen to what 1 John chapter 1, 3 through 7 says. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light. And in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. The idea of the light and the darkness is not that we don't have a transgress once in a while. But if our practice is walking in the darkness, yet we say that we're Christians, and that's a contradiction. We all have struggles, every single one of us. John says if we say we have no sin, we're liars. But we have an answer for our sin. But if we continue and perpetually have a habitual sin, then that's a challenge for us. We have fellowship in the church has the best potential because of a common commitment. We have a common commitment as believers in Jesus Christ. Webster defines fellowship as a group with common interests. As Christians, we have a common goal. And that goal is to glorify Christ. Our lives should be a glory to God. Does it always work out that way? No. There are times that we slip and we transgress. I had an occasion this week that I was standing in line where there's two people, it was two tellers, and a guy walked up to me and he said, "Which line are you in?" I said, "Both of them." I said, "I'm not going to choose one because the one that I choose, the other one's going to go faster." I said, "I know that, so I'm just waiting for the next one to come along." And got into this discussion about that. You know, there's a time of interaction and a common thing because, yeah, I've been there too. You know, you get in a drive-through line and you wait there and all these other cars are going forward through the drive-through and you're sitting there because a guy is depositing $1 million in ones. At least that's what you're thinking he's doing. There's a common interest that we have, a common goal to glorify Christ, and it's a challenge. And so we need that common encouragement as well. I've got a great brother in Christ in Roland. You know, we've got two wonderful elders that are encouraging in the leadership. James is a wonderful addition to our staff that's been there for years now. Just takes a different tone. There are people that are around that are just good encouragers. That fellowship that, you know, even whether you're painting a fence and getting sprayed with little black pellets of black paint, you know, you're thinking, I'm humble. Pastors do this, you know. There's still like little black specks on my thing here, you know, and people say my glasses, you know. You're doing this? You got black paint in your glasses. There's a commonness. But why do we do it? Because of Christ. It's a common goal to live a life worthy of Christ because we fall short. We're not perfect, but we serve a perfect God. There's a common lifestyle that we have that is different and unique as well. That's the great part about Scripture. There is liberty in God's Word. Not liberty to do what we want to do. It's not a free-for-all, whatever you want to do is okay. But there are liberties within God's Word that says it's okay, but it may not be okay for this person over here. But the common lifestyle is to live what God has called us to do. If we differ, let's look at this. What does God's Word say? Don't tell me what you think. I don't care what you think. What does truth say? And let's live towards that. There are common values. This is I'm not a political person. The last time I worked on a campaign was for Kildee back in 1960 whatever, and he's still in power. Man, I can't believe he's still. Huh? Did a good job. Yeah, don't blame it on me. So if whether you are, so that's why you get in trouble. Because people, Facebook's been ugly with that, you know, with the things. I've seen people say, you know, just terrible stuff. You know what the bottom line is? God's still in control. Amen. Whoever gets elected this year, you got to trust that God put him there. Because God's Word says that. You can have your political opinions. You can vote who you want to vote for. You know, and it's great discussion. But the bottom line, God is still in control, and who he chooses to have in power, he will be in power. He will be president and vice president and right down the line. But it doesn't mean we stand back and not get involved. But look at the issues as a Christian. I look at the issues as a believer in Jesus Christ. Because there's a value that I hold to, not to the world's value, but to God's Word. And the Word that I hold to is going to become more and more difficult as a pastor. Because a lot of views, a lot of the teachings of God's Word is counter to what culture is accepting. Fellowship helps us to encourage one another not to hold on to our own values, but to hold on to God's values. But even as believers, we fellowship in different circles. Jesus had the thousands. He had the multitudes. He fed the 5,000. He fed the 4,000. There's great multitudes that would come around him. And yet in his disciples, we always think of the small little group of men that would travel along with Jesus. There were maybe 100 to 120 disciples following Christ. He sent them out two by twos right one time. He sent out 70 one time. There's a larger group, but then he has the 12, the apostles, those who he chose and called to follow him. But even within the 12, he had the three, James and John and Peter. We have different circles within. We don't have to be just all one. We are one body, but we have different friendships within that too, and that's okay to do that. It's common interests. There was a couple, unfortunately, in Midland that were very upset with us because they weren't as close with us as they wanted to be. It wasn't that anything we choose not to do, but they were empty nesters. We had Josh, who was probably 2 or 3 years old. There's different needs that we have. We may look older, but, you know, we had more commonness with some of the younger couples because we had a small child. It wasn't preference. It's just sometimes the way life lays out in that. You know, you don't try to turn anyone away. There's some natural progressions, too. I remember when I was in the Young Americans in my second year, and I really want to have a really close friend. And I picked out this one guy, a new kid. I said, he's going to be my close friend. Problem is he ended up close friends with that guy over there. You know, you can't do that sometimes. Sometimes it's just a natural bent, because we do fellowship in different circles. We have similar levels of friendship within the church, and that's good. Those who have age levels or whatever, it's just the way that we naturally do that. Because there's a need for fellowship. John 13, verse 34 and 35, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. That's a very heavy commandment by Christ. That's how we're going to know if we're a follower of Christ, if we have love for another. Ever meet crabby Christians? You know? They should have a little CC just right, so you can just point them out. Some people are just hard to love, you know. But you know, those are the people that really need love too. Ones that you really need to reach out to, because maybe there's something that's going on in their lives that just, they're just feeling down. They feel like there's no one there. And as they respond from that people just pull back, which validates their feelings that no one's out there reaching out to them. Bible says love your enemies. That's countercultural. You know, if you feel they're not lovable, then that's the people that really need love as well. Fellowship, Christian fellowship, satisfies our need for love. You know, in Ephesians chapter, Paul talks about in marriage that husbands love your wives, wives respect or submit to your husbands. And there's a great book called Love and Respect. But I think that we both need that as human beings. We need love and respect. But one, men desire more, one, women desire more, but we desire both of those. And fellowship can satisfy that need for love. The world is a cold and indifferent place. They don't care if you're loved or not. They'll tell you that your hair color is not the right color. You don't drive the right car. Your insurance even is not as fun as our insurance is. Everything, and that tells us where we don't measure up. And if we buy into that, you know, we become paranoid. It doesn't care. Only God cares. The church should be a place where we genuinely care for each other. We were on vacation, and two Sundays gone up north, two different churches, and then last Sunday I gave the message at a local church whose pastor left them quickly and asked if I could fill in for a Sunday, which I said, sure. I'm not a candidate for the church, by the way. You know, I tell you, because it's a little church that we're singing, and this is as far as my hands could go. Because if I don't have a guitar, I would raise my hands a little more. Because I just act of surrender to God. You know, I love, you know, in worship, just to, God, pick me up. I'm like a little kid when I get picked up. And only God can do that, too, at this weight. But, you know, I thought, well, this church is going to freak out if I do that and then give the message. They don't know what to expect. So, but, you know, I missed this fellowship. I missed this body of people. There's something unique about grace that is just endears my heart. And I know it's God and the uniqueness. People generally care for each other. There's good humor here. Yeah. There's bad humor here as well. Love that flows from God is deeper, richer, and more authentic. At least it should be. It should be. There was a message I gave one time some years ago about reaching outside, building within. You can never build in a church unless you're reaching outside to grab people along as well. You know, if your focus is always inside the circle, you know, it's hard for people to get in. They're going to feel a cold and indifferent place. We all have a need to be to love and to be loved. Some years ago, I was talking to my elders in Midland, and one of them said to me, he said, you know, your problem is you want to be liked. I said, nope, my problem is I want to be loved. You know, we want to be loved. Christian fellowship satisfies our need for encouragement. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Not to manipulate, but to stimulate. Not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day draw near. Next Sunday is an opportunity for that with National Back to Church Sunday. Isn't that kind of a sad thing? But the focus is to encourage people to come back into fellowship because, you know, we are dumb sheep and we can hurt people. We don't desire to. But do you ever met a family that doesn't fight or have disagreements? All right, besides the Nelsons. Some of you are going, who? Ozzie and Harriet. Okay, back to that. It's just the way families are. But families work them out too. Luann and I have had our challenges of miscommunications. But we work it out. Church families be the same way. But you know what people do? They leave instead. They get offended and they leave. And so they take their problems to the next church. We all have problems. Keep it here. Let's work them out. There's a need for that. The world can be a discouraging place. No pain, no gain. I have another philosophy. No pain, no pain. But I do try to, anyway. It is encouraging to meet hundreds of Christians who share your values. You know, Christian fellowship meets our need for accountability. The world can be a tempting place. It can be, and that's just a reality. And we can have difficulties. We can have challenges. We are not perfect. But it doesn't mean that we're then discarded either. One thing that helps me walk in the light is close fellowship. I've got a good accountability with my brother Kevin. Tom and Roland have a good accountability together because we need to challenge each other to walk upright because the world wants to tear you down. And it's subtle now than what it used to be. If you take today, move back 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, and they would just be startled. We never get to mature. We never get to that mature where we don't need the caring rebuke of friends as well, you know, to encourage them to be accountable to God. Christian fellowship meets our need for a strong testimony as well. The world is skeptical about church. Oh my gosh, I've heard things. I heard some things just in sitting about a man explaining to his son about fasting, you know, and just relate to religious things, you know, and it just, I didn't enter into the conversation. I didn't feel it was my place to do so. But the world is skeptical about matters of faith. But one quality impresses the world, and that's compassion. You know, I know John was, you could tell, he was visibly overwhelmed with over 1,000 Hot Wheel cars. That didn't seem like a big deal. It seemed like a very cool deal because God brought all these cars in to give to these children to Haiti. I tell you, my wife did. She was, when we went treasure shopping on vacation, it was looking for the pillowcases, looking for the fabric. She got a roll of 10 yards of denim cloth, soft denim cloth that they gave it to us of $25 for $10. I mean, that was her focus because she loved to do that. She has a compassion for those things, enjoys sewing. Makes a difference to people thousands of miles away. We have a need for a strong testimony. The strong testimony, it lets them see truth lived out in our attitude towards one another. That's a strong testimony. You know, I answered the phone yesterday. I was here for a little bit, and it was a guy who started in on a whole rhetoric that I'm going, I know this. I know this voice. I know what you're saying. I said, I brought you food before. Well, I wish you brought me food. I brought you milk, too. I wish you'd bring me milk. I said, you said that before last time. And I started, and it was the same guy. And I said, I know where you live. Not in a mean way, of course. Or threatening. She says, you said you live on the east side. I said, east side? That's not going to throw me off. I said, yeah, right near Pasadena. Oh, maybe you did bring me something, you know. But I listened to him. Internally, I wanted to go. Internally, I need to get home and do stuff. But I listened to him. And I let him end the conversation. Doesn't take much to be authentic. But a bit of time. How do we have a strong testimony? John 13:35, just read that. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. If I said, you know, hey, my day off, I shouldn't even answer the phone, call me on Monday after 2, boom. Yeah. That would have made a bad impression. You know, it just takes a few minutes. Just takes a second to make a bad impression, doesn't it? To wipe out everything you've done. All right, lastly, means of... See, I'm not really feeling the pressure of time because I fear we have food here, so... No, that's not true. I tell you, last week at this church, the clock was way, way in the back by the AV booth, and it was one of those digital clocks that wasn't lit. And I'm going, I have no idea what time it is. You know, none. I can't see the clock. I said, but I do know that your second service gets off at 12:30, and since they're combined and you have a picnic, I don't really feel a whole lot of pressure. But I was okay. The means of fellowship. There are ways that we get in fellowship. One is your church. Church is a good outlet for fellowship. Get involved in different things. If you just come on Sunday morning and that's it, or just come on Sunday nights and that's it, you will not have, I mean, there's not, there are growing opportunities within Grace to get involved in more things. Luann talked about the things with the women's sewing on the 22nd. There's the women's Bible study. There's men's breakfast that we have. We'll be starting the Revelation study. There will be a midweek study as well in Grace. Get involved in those things because those things have intimacy and helps you get to know and be known. We've tried small groups, and they have not taken off because people have a lack of interest. I know people get busy, but you need an opportunity together for fellowship because it is important. Even participating in the work day, that's fellowship. There's a lot of good stuff that goes on when you're sweating out there together. We've done some great work, but it's fellowship. Just don't relegate it to this time. Invite someone to your home. 1 Peter 4:9 says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Family, invited the pastor and his family over for lunch, you know, and the wife was just harried trying to get something together, you know, and they get down and sit down at the meal and they invite the young child, you know, they're so proud of to say the blessing for the meal, and the child goes, I don't really know what to say. Well, just say what you heard mommy say in the kitchen. Oh Lord, why did I invite all these people over to our house? I love having people at our house. It sometimes stresses my wife out because she likes to have it really clean. But she's a wonderful housekeeper as it is and keeps things clean. But there's an intimacy that's there when we have people sit in the living room and enjoying time. We had time with Jamie and Jessica on Friday. It's just nice. Invite people. Have that fellowship in your home as well, outside the church. Maybe you've been a Christian for a long time but don't have much fellowship. And there are people like that that are in the church. Maybe lots of reasons why you feel like you don't have a lot of friends. Sometimes it's our conduct. We have a defensive conduct. We push people away. Years ago in Disney, when I was performing for them, I learned that they had a weekday night group of Christians that met, and I mentioned someone I was going to go to that. And they said, well, I didn't know you were a Christian. Ooh. But what was I showing them? What was I doing in my conduct that wouldn't even put me in that category? Probably true. Sometimes we need to self-examine. Try something different. Try reaching out to someone who needs you. I tell you, there's a lot of joy. You know, it's better to give than to receive. Sometimes we need to receive as well. Sometimes we need to not rob people of the blessing that God wants to give through somebody else. You know, we can give, but it's also nice to receive once in a while when we need a little filling and being able to express that. Maybe you're in a comfort zone of fellowship you need to break out of a little bit. I don't want Grace to be just a same old church. Never have. I'd rather see God just radically do stuff here. This is why, you know, Aloha Summer came out of William and Sue's wedding 4 years ago. Right after we started, Grace said, well, we got all this Hawaiian stuff. Let's just dress up in Hawaiian on Sunday. So we did that, and we've been doing once the second Sunday in September, Aloha Summer. Bye. And I don't care if it was 47 degrees today. I'm wearing shorts. Because the only Sunday in the whole year I get to wear shorts. Your circle is a means to fellowship. Avoid being cliquish. Don't turn a cold shoulder or be unaware. Oh, people, do not be unaware at this church in Grace. And I will tell you, you do a great job. You do a great job. Continue that job. Don't ever become lax in that. There was a family that was here last week, and in fact, they called on Monday or Tuesday to tell Roland that, to tell the pastor who was gone, that the church did a wonderful job of making them feel comfortable. I love hearing that. I love hearing that. We went to a church on last two Sundays ago, in Petoskey, big church. And we sat there during the meet and greet time. There was a lot of meeting and greeting going on. Two people, I think, said hi. You know, and loved the, and the one guy made like from where Kevin's back there, made a notice that we were standing there, that we didn't look familiar, and made a purpose of coming over. In fact, he shook hand twice just to make sure that we had a double blessing there. But I'm thinking, all these people are talking to themselves. You know, they're interacting with themselves, but what about the stranger amongst them? You know, what are they going to sense? What are they going to get out of that? I love Hebrews 13:2 says, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it." I choose to think that every person that comes to the store that I don't know is an angel. I want to know that. I want to say hi to them. I may not remember their name. I tell people it takes me up to 3 times to remember your name. That's okay, because I'm a AARP card carrying member. That's my excuse, but I will work on that. And I did that in Midland. I've done that because I think it's important to do that. Am I perfect at it? No. But you know, we need to look out for the stranger amongst us, because we don't know who they are. I'd rather think, wow, God sent in angels. I want to have a good report back when, you know, they, you know. Don't you want that as well? I want to give you, here's a suggestion. After and before a service, have a 5-minute rule. For the first 5 minutes you walk in, look for the strangers amongst you. Don't look for those common ones that you want to talk to every week. There's time for them, but make sure at least you hit one person you never talked to before. And that's always a challenge. If someone comes from the evening service to the morning or morning to the evening, you know, they may think that you're new and you've been here for 3 years. Don't assume. Hi, I'm so-and-so. How long have you been coming? How long have you been coming? That's the greatest icebreaker. You know, we had a story in Midland where a person had been going to the first service, came to the second service, and the church had been in existence for 40 years. And the person said, "Oh, are you new to Midland Christian Church?" She was a charter member, you know. Goes over really well. Those are the kind of letters you love to get. So always encourage people. Consider expanding, not dumping, your circle of close friends. I love the fact that Damascus Rose always tries to encourage, woo-woo, yeah. Talk about radical people. To encourage more people to come to Damascus Road. We could do that at any age level, too.
Lots of fun.
It's written in all the papers. In Acts chapter 9, when Paul first came to Jerusalem, you know who welcomed him? Nobody. Because they were afraid of Paul. They heard of his reputation. They heard of what was going on. Paul had been serving God, had been preaching, his life had been threatened. But when he came to Jerusalem, he got stonewalled until Barnabas. Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. Barnabas took this brother who had been in serving, had a bad reputation, and brought him in and integrated him into the fellowship. Grab a new Christian. Work with him. Fellowship with him. Do something, you know. Help paint the fence. Little black specks. Do that. Those things are good things for fellowship. Being a Barnabas to new people. A couple closing thoughts. Oh, wow. For some of you, you may just begin to understand what fellowship is all about in the church and to the believer. We're not called to just play church, but to be a church. Coming on Sunday mornings or Sunday nights and having no other contact with Christians during the week isn't going to cut it. It won't help you grow in Christ-likeness. But as we've also seen in God's Word, this may be a place where we offer more than coffee and baked goods. We call it hospitality. We call it fellowship because we're created for fellowship. Take advantage of those times. It's fitting to close with Paul's words that he has at the end of his second letter to the Corinthians. And I'm going to leave you with this. The grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship with the Holy Spirit be with you all. May grace be a place where we offer true communion, true fellowship, true authenticity for all those who are seeking Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have called us, challenges us to live in Christ, to be Christ to the world, not just in this place, but outside of this place. So would you use this time that we have with you as an encouragement, as an opportunity to hone our skills, to humble us, and to help us to see the world through your eyes. Lord, I pray for these people. I thank you for them. I love them. But I know that you love them more. May you use us for dynamic ways to bring glory to yourself and to your Son. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Every soul we long to reach, every heart we hope to teach, everywhere we share his peace, is only by his grace. Every loving word we say, every tear we wipe away, every sorrow turned to praise, is only by his grace. Grace alone, which God supplies, strength I know he will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth in grace alone.
Grace alone.
Grace alone, which God supplies, strength alone, he will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth in grace alone. We will go forth in grace alone.
Father, help us go forward in grace alone, that you might receive all the glory. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for spending this time with us. And just a reminder that we're a church, a non-denominational Christian church on Davison Road near Center Road, right next to McDonald's. And if you've enjoyed this service, if you enjoyed this message, please come and spend a Sunday morning or Sunday evening with us, and we'd love to see you in person. You can read more about us at www.grace247.org. God bless.